When he gave his State of the Union address this year, President Obama proposed raising the federal minimum wage from $7.25, where it has been since July of 2009, to $9 an hour. If you were a minimum wage worker, that would mean your annual salary would increase from just under $15,000 to just over $18,000. That's $3,000 going in your pocket. That's a 20% salary increase. My brother, who happens to be the acting Secretary of Labor for the United States of America, has been traveling around the country trying to spread the message about why the minimum wage should go up, and in doing so has met with a whole bunch of minimum wage people. And so I've asked him to join us today and share some of those stories. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, Paul.
Tell us about these people who you've met along the way and what that extra $3,000 would mean for them.
For a lot of them, it means being able to buy basic necessities for their lives and not having to make some really excruciating choices. What they tell me as I talk with them, really what I'm trying to do is give them the opportunity to tell the country their stories in hopes that that will help to sway the country in support of the minimum wage increase the president has proposed. But what they tell me is that every month they have to make a choice between what bill they're going to pay. You know, some bills go unpaid. Some bills get paid just because they're afraid their lights will get turned off or their heat will get turned off. They're making choices between buying food and buying prescription drugs, being able to buy clothes for their kids or get their car fixed so that they can get to work. So these are the kinds of struggles that in the wealthiest country on earth, people who are working full-time, doing what we expect of them, taking responsibility for themselves and their kids shouldn't have to make. Those are the stories that I'm hearing, and they're powerful and they're poignant, and I'm going to keep going until we can get Congress debating this minimum wage increase.
Who are the people who are making minimum wage? I think there might be a popular perception that it's mostly teenagers working in fast food.
Right, that's the myth that gets rolled out every time an increase in the minimum wage is proposed, that this is money going to teenagers that they're going to spend on supersized Cokes at the movie theater on the weekends. In reality, 60% are working women. Only one in five is a teenager. Half the income of their families comes from their minimum wage jobs. They're folks who are trying to put money, food on the table. They're folks who are trying to pay their bills. These are folks who are really struggling to get by, and they have not had a pay increase, or at least the federal minimum wage has not gone up, in 4 years. And that's largely because we depend upon Congress to decide the level of minimum wage. And as you know, Congress doesn't always work with the speed we might want it to work with. So another part of the president's proposal is not merely to raise the minimum wage to $9, but to tie the value of the minimum wage to the cost of living, so that as the cost of milk goes up, as the cost of gas goes up, as the cost of utilities and rent goes up, minimum wage workers will be able to keep up with it.
Have we ever had it set up that way?
Not the national minimum wage. There are a couple of states that have set it up that way. Already 19 states and the District of Columbia have raised their state minimum wages to above the level of $7.25, which is the national minimum wage. So there's a lot of enthusiasm out there for an increase in the minimum wage. There is a lot of discussion about this index. It's called indexing the minimum wage to the cost of living. Actually, as the president said during the State of the Union, that's an issue on which he and Governor Romney agreed during the campaign. So it should be something that Congress should be able to adopt fairly easily.
If you raise the federal minimum wage, would those states, none of which is above $9 right now, as far as I can tell, would they then have to go above $9 to maybe $10 or more?
Well, if they wanted to, and that's actually the structure of the Fair Labor Standards Act, which sets the national minimum wage, which was enacted 75 years ago this year, states have the option to raise their minimum wage to a higher level if they would like. So Oregon is now above the $9 level, but most other states are not. Some states have no minimum wage or have a minimum wage that's well below the current minimum wage. What the national minimum wage does is to set a national floor, and then it's up to the states if they have high costs of living or if they're particularly productive or if they feel that they want to assure that there's lots of money going into their small businesses from minimum wage workers who are buying food and buying gas and you know, paying for school supplies at the local stationery store, well, then they can raise it higher if they like. But states don't have to. They can stay at the national minimum wage if they prefer.
You just brought up the next thing I wanted to ask you about, which is when people do get a minimum wage increase, as they did in 2009, after a law was passed in 2007, and it was done, I believe, in three steps until we got to 7.25 in 2009, did those people who were making that extra money then turn around and put that money back into the American economy?
Sure, absolutely. This is the other thing that I've learned from talking to minimum wage workers around the country is they are, one woman said to me when I was in Boston, she said, I wish I could live paycheck to paycheck. I can't even catch up so that my paychecks pay my bills. As soon as this money goes into the pockets of minimum wage workers, they're going to turn right around and spend it in their communities. And this is something we don't talk about very often. Low-wage communities suffer when low-wage workers don't get pay increases because the small businesses in those communities, the gas stations, even the landlords, they don't get any additional money because the people who are their customers don't have any additional money. So there's a good bit of evidence that if you give money to minimum wage workers, they turn right around and spend it. They will, in turn, help their local small businesses to grow, which helps our economy to grow. 70% of the American economy is built on consumer spending. And when you hear the word consumer, you got to think working families, minimum wage families, middle class families. This is the core of what the president was talking about in the State of the Union address when he talked about growing the economy from the middle out rather than the top down. Working families spending their money that they earn at their jobs is the engine that drives American growth. So if we put money in the pockets of minimum wage workers, we're helping our overall economy to grow.
This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris, talking with Acting Secretary of Labor Seth Harris, who has been traveling around the country talking to minimum wage employees and trying to get some local media to promote the story of what the president proposed in his State of the Union address, which is raising the federal minimum wage from $7.25 to $9 an hour. That would be about a $3,000 a year increase for somebody who works minimum wage full time. I don't know what percentage of them do that. Do you, Seth, know what percentage of minimum wage people are actually full-time employees?
It's slightly more than half are working full-time, but this is one of the other myths that's often propagated around proposals to increase the minimum wage, is that, you know, it's going to go to part-time workers and they don't really need the money. Well, the people I am meeting are working part-time even though they're desperate to get full-time work. They really would happily work 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week. They just can't get the hours. So this idea that part-time work is something like a hobby is really not true. These are folks really struggling to get by. Let me tell you one story that nicely illustrates this part-time point. I met a mom named Jessica in Philadelphia who has two children, and she said she's endlessly put to these difficult choices of whether to buy warm clothes, healthy food, or school supplies for her kids. She works two part-time minimum wage jobs. One is a housekeeper and another working in a warehouse packing chocolate. And even with two part-time jobs, it's not enough money to help her to be able to support her kids. So when we hear that only slightly more than half of minimum wage workers are working full-time, you got to think about Jessica, who's working two part-time jobs and wouldn't show up in that statistic. She's doing everything she can to support her kids. We need to support her and give her this small increase in pay.
Now, you know, the argument from the business community is if you have to raise wages, small businesses are going to fire more people and they're going to hire fewer people. What's the answer to that? And what does the history show? Last time we raised the wage, did that happen?
Right. The answer is no, it didn't happen. This is the same, I must say, sort of dusty, encrusted argument that gets rolled out every single time there's a proposal to increase the minimum wage. You know that I was involved in the effort to increase the minimum wage in the middle 1990s and again the middle of last decade. Same argument comes up, but we don't have to guess and we don't have to speculate. There is evidence from independent economists who have studied increases in the minimum wage that have gone into effect in the past. And the evidence is that if you increase the minimum wage in a moderate way, and that this proposal is perfectly moderate, it's actually, President Obama's proposal is actually a smaller increase in the minimum wage than was enacted under President Bush. But a moderate increase in the minimum wage does not cause people to lose their jobs. Instead, what happens is, and this phenomenon you and I were just talking about, is minimum wage workers get the money, they turn right around and spend it. That helps businesses, particularly small businesses in their community. So those businesses do better. Maybe they can actually hire more people, and it gets a virtuous cycle going in those communities and in our country as a whole to get the economy moving forward again.
Acting Secretary of Labor Seth Harris, thank you very much for joining me today on America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul.
Paul Harris.
America Weekend.